This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 3:01 in the nation's capital. The Rooster handling personal business today. And Nell will be up for the Hoffman Show at 4 o'clock. He'll be on a live microphone and ready to rumble, as always. Essek on the vibes, DOC, on the microphone. And it is Dallas Week. And this is more... And it's not about fanfare. It's going to be a dogfight. Throw the records out. We have got to get a W. And a man who is battle-tested has been through more than his share of these battles is Brother Bostic. And here's the man that was... Okay. And he's coming up at the center of the attention, one of the best storytellers in the world. So we'll, I'm sure you have some dialogue for him. I know Essek will have a couple of questions for him, but we'll get it together. In the meantime, we're going to grab a...
Let's grab a caller real quick.
All right, let's do that. How about Lulu? Lou, welcome to Gridiron Wednesday.
Man, it feels good, man. That guy's right. He's not out there with you today. It's just it feels right, man, talking to you and listening to you with some of the legends from the past. And, Doc, I've been listening for the past 2.5 hours. And, you know, especially what C-Man was saying, you know, you guys play 60 minutes football, and I have not seen – this team do that, and I just want to see one of those games, man. And we've been, you know, we've been sliding for the past 2 weeks. We gave some games away. We should have won, but it is what it is. It's the league, and, you know, some things bounce your way, some things doesn't. So it's unfortunate, but it's Dallas. I mean, there's no other team to get right with, you know, try to get on the right direction. And try to play a 60-minute sound football, man. Like, you know, like C-Man was saying, you know, defense hold a team to 17 points. You know, the defense, you know, hold the other team running back under 100 yard and things like that, man. I want that kind of translate to these guys, and I want to see one of those beat down to, you know, it's been a long overdue, especially, you know, being Dallas Cowboys. And I know, you know, the RG3 era, you know, that 2012, things like that, but I'm not trying to go back there. I want us to rewrite history now. I mean, the past 20 season is a past, and let's start, you know, just beat this team to a point. They you know, that's what I want to say. I just want us to beat this Cowboys team and just try to make a run to, you know, down the stretch and try to get healthy. And, you know, and that's what I want to see, man, just complete 60 minutes football, man. I just haven't seen it. I mean, we play 40-some minutes against Philly, and we let them slide with the W. So It hurt to this day. I mean, until what, a week later, it still hurt me, man. I'm still feeling that pain, that loss. So I just want to, you know, it's been a long 10 days, so I can't wait till Sunday to come. And Cowboys is the right team for us to get right. I don't want to underestimate that team, but we are 10 points, whatever, favor. So I want us to go out there, forget being a favor. I want us to go out there, be like underdog and just go beat the ish out of Dallas. And that's what I want to see on Sunday, Doc. Complete football game. And I want to see Defoe out there, too. I want to throw that out there, Doc.
Well, first of all, you have to fear your opponent and realize that Dallas is capable of beating you.
Yeah.
And they have people. And until it's over, I'm not going to feel comfortable about it. And I look at the Hail Mary, and I'm smart enough to realize that we were a Hail Mary away from losing to the Bears. So I'm humbled by that. I'm humbled. So, hey, Lou, hang in there, brother. And I'll at post game, I know I'll hear from you, win, lose, or draw. But I want a victory. And then we can celebrate during the post game. That'll be good. And appreciate the phone call. One man who knows a lot about winning. And he's a guy that has won more games than anybody I know personally in Burgundy and Gold, because he's been through more than anybody in Burgundy and Gold. And it's the leader of the offensive line, and that is Jeff Bostic. Hey, Stud, how are you?
Doc? We're great.
You know, Essek, you never get closer to a dude when you're lockered next to him. You know what I mean? When you got your locker mate.
Oh, yeah.
A man that, you know, that you flesh the flesh. You know, you bumped into him. You've rubbed against him. You know, you've graced him. You have been way closer than men would like to admit.
Well, and let me say this, Doc. How out of date would Redskin Park be today?
Dude, it would be, if we did a remake of that, high school kids would laugh.
Yeah.
No, seriously. My boys
college,
over,
college
yeah, over James Madison High School,
high.
And they're undefeated, and they're on a roll over there. And I guarantee you, their locker rooms, they would laugh. But we love them things, man. Remember how we thought, we that was state-of-the-art, but it was 1971 state-of-the-art.
Well, that was home for a long time.
Yeah, with Mosley right across, Dexter. You know, every locker room, as you know, Essek, as an athlete, is a community.
Mm-hmm.
And we used our, as the streets and sides and corners, you know, and our deal, because the payphone, you either buy the Coke machine or you buy the payphone, pluses and minuses. You don't think you want to be by the door, but by the door is by fresh air. Right, Bosco?
And you remember what Mosley had on the door to the top of his locker, right?
Mirrors.
Thank you. There
mirrors.
You go.
He had more. He had a cosmetic stand. He was way ahead of the mall. Mosley had more cosmetics and things for man, and we would have so much fun with that. And that locker room, and Dave Butts, God rest his soul, when I saw the captain's hats and we were doing the thing out in Golden State, I thought about Buttsy. And the unique part about it is this variance of personalities. You got Theismann at the end of the row, you know, the Brooks Brothers suit deal, and then you got all of, and then the prize bull is right across from us. So we had the best, don't you agree, we had the best row in the entire locker room?
Yeah, we had a very lively and a very spread out set of personalities.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Dexter was like Linnell on steroids. Yeah, you can't imagine. You can't imagine how much fun it was. This year's team, Bosco, let me go back to the O-line, because I think when I see them, I think of you. I think of Zimmy. I really do think of that original line with Maydog, and I can't help
Fred
but think.
Dean,
yeah, I
Fred
start
Dean,
with
George
Mean
Stark.
Dean. The first group, these boys are scrappy and violent. I mean, I love these dudes. And I just wonder, when you see them, what do you see?
Well, you know, offensive line's not typically a glory position, but
no.
The Hoggets kind of made us a single thing in the entire history of the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think any other offensive line has gotten as much press and as much.
No.
You're getting grown men to dress up in hog outfits.
Yeah, no. The Dolphins had a little bit of run, but you're right. I don't know any other group kind of like that ever been discussed as a unit. No.
Well, I got one question for you. I mean, obviously, Russ Grimm had a great career. He went to 4 Pro Bowls, won 3 Super Bowl championships, and then he coached for probably 15 more years.
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh. Why is Joe Jacoby not in the Hall of Fame?
Well,
he won 3 Super Bowl championships.
Mm-hmm.
He went to 4 or 5 Pro Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did we win with? Mirrors and glass?
Well, how about this? How about he had mortal combat with the greatest linebacker of all time, and the greatest linebacker of all time asked the same question you asked. So if your number one competitor is confused and has voted for you and endorsed you, Larry Michael did a great piece. And one of the few guys smart enough to go and go, well, why don't we ask LT? And
well, here you go. I'm going to give you an LT question. He went to the University of North Carolina.
Yep.
As a freshman, what position did he play?
I don't think I played it. I covered his game as a freshman. He was.
I'll save you a headache, Doc. He was a nose guard.
Oh, he was. No, I did not see him as a freshman. He played. LT was a nose guard?
He was a nose guard as a freshman, yes.
Wow. Well, you knew he was tough as nails. He didn't mind getting his nails dirty. Not at all.
Well, he found his position when he went to the Giants. They moved him over at North Carolina the next couple of years. I don't know that there will ever be an outside linebacker like him.
No, not play away. I've never seen anybody that – I thought he was better play away. You could not cut him off. I mean, the dude did not want to be cut off. And how lucky was he to land with – Tuna and the goat. So he had, and you know, coaching matters. You know, and you had great offensive line coaches, but you know when you didn't, you know it matters. And so when you look at this matchup upcoming, what do you like about the Commanders?
Well, they're trying to make their own era. You know,
mm-hmm.
And they don't have the ability to keep guys around. With we didn't have free agency,
right?
And you could really, and let me say this: people don't realize what a great general manager Bobby Bethard was. He had an uncanny.
Well, he's a gold jacket
eye for talent.
Yeah.
I mean, he was amazing.
Yep. Yeah,
so
that's how he got that gold jacket.
We had some battles against those Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm concerned. I don't pay any attention to their record, and I know how big a win it would be for them. It would get all that heat off their coaches and owner, and it would satisfy their fan base thirst. And it cannot happen. What is the key to victory for the Commanders?
I think there are typically 2 or 3 things that always tell you who's going to win the game. Time of possession,
mm-hmm.
Sacks allowed, sacks that you have gotten. Can you pressure the other quarterback and protect your own?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple analogy to how do we get to a victory? I mean, we used to own the time of possession clock.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way you stated that in terms of not just turnovers. Sacks are, they're personal. When you see your quarterback on the ground, to me that has a bigger impact than the interception. It has a bigger impact than even forcing a fumble. There's something about the visual that we got to your quarterback and laid hands on him. And I
I'm going to tell you something. When Lawrence Taylor broke Joe Theismann's ankle, both sides of the ball were in shock.
Yeah.
It was an ugly injury.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder, it doesn't escape it. You just don't forget about that. It's in any and every injury. When Joe got hit, we were in Frisco, and they ran a game on the outside, I know, with me and Jake, and you look, you know, there's nothing that hurts you more than when you see your guy gets hit and he loses a tooth. They lose things. And you look, hey, man, it happens. But you could also be in a game and you could have your center tell the nose tackle that you're coming to hit him and then have the nose tackle slant towards you and your neck never adjusts to being normal again the rest of your life. That could happen too.
People don't realize the size, the speed, and the violence of the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and I want to confirm this, and then we'll let you get back to pickleball. But when I tell people the story, which I go of all the things that happened, and everybody had different career, different side, different teams. But the most amazing thing that I've ever experienced as a professional athlete is seeing the changing of the guard. That guy that wore the hat and the expensive suits in Dallas, who was an iconic figure. And to see this dude, the no Danny no, and his emotional decline. And that guy Randy White, that played defensive tackle for them, who has a nickname Manster for a reason. Boy was bad. Well, nobody's single blocking this boy until that young lad out of Pittsburgh put an end to that. And I'm telling you something now, and Jeff will atone to this. When Joe Gibbs, remember all the guys, we had signals, people, Don Brodus signaling, all them little signal things he's do before technology, calling that play, and it would come in and 50 gut. And Theismann didn't buck it. You know he could have bucked it. He could have high-sided. He could have used his clout. He didn't buck it. Gibbs called a play.
I think he knew what would happen if he did not call the play Coach Gibbs called.
He did?
Joe had a very calm demeanor. But when he got angry, he really got angry.
He got angry. And Joe did it. That, to me, is one of those stories. Of all the stories you have, that, to me, is number one. To have been in that huddle when he calls that play, split right tight, gets out 70 chip, and a voice said, "Hey, Joe, 50 gut." And I said, "Spit right tight, zoom, 50 gut, on sound."
Yeah.
Boom. Again, seven times, right?
We ran it and told him the last three or four.
Yeah, three, just straight seven. He called the plays in. No timeout was called. That's the thing I love about Joe. Gibbs didn't panic.
Well, you know, it's kind of Bugle. It's Joe Bugle's problem because we were in that meeting on Friday, and he says, "We need to play this game with athletic arrogance."
Yeah, that's when athletic arrogance came out. Yeah, that was it. That was good. Hey, brother, you are, as you know, you're priceless, and you've got a copyright on it. So until you sell it, we got to keep coming back to you every time we need a nugget. And none but love for you. Appreciate you. Will you be in town for this one?
No. We're in Gainesville, Georgia. Now.
Okay.
We've been here for probably 10 or 12 years, Doc. But we'll get back up there again soon.
All right. Well, enjoy it. And, hey, man, look like the old Clemson is not dead yet. So Tigers still showing some life. I know that makes you feel good.
Yep, I love my Tigers.
And you should, man. Your coach is he's hanging in there, and I appreciate that. Thanks, Jeff. That's Jeff Boston.
Take care, Doc.
As Coach Thompson would say, simply one of the best. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. But at least now you get a chance. You heard it from the source. So all that rumor stuff, you heard it from the source. Take a break. We'll come back and let you in. We won't hog the mic. Let you do your thing right here on a Gridiron Wednesday. In for Windbag. We'll be back. That opening had me. You had me. Hail to the W, back in town. Speaking of that, I'm 757 driven. My man, Paulie. Dallas week, not complete without you.
Hail to the W, Doc.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, my guy?
You know what time it is.
Hey, I know what time it is, man. One of my greatest memories of Dallas week is, you know, the stadium shaking game, championship game.
Priceless.
But it wasn't just the shake. It wasn't just that. It was that watching the game with my father.
Ah.
And I'll never forget that day. You know, we made our little cinnamon buns in the oven. You know what I mean? We had popcorn, all that. And, you know, it was just like a bonding day of football with my father that I can, you know, that I always remember. It's two sporting events, man. It's that game, and it was the Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, No Mas fight. And I'll never forget as a kid with my father watching them sporting events. Man. But this one, so Dallas Week always is a special thing for me, man. And I'm kind of disappointed at the fan base, man. I don't feel that energy, man. You know what I mean? Most of my friends, my homies, are Washington fans, and I'm not feeling that energy. I don't feel it on the radio. I'm listening to the station. You know what I mean? This is Dallas Week, man. I don't care. Like I said, it don't matter what the record is. Going in both directions.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
I got a disdain and hate for that. Maybe it's because, like I said, I'm a championship fan. You know, I'm a fan of the champion. I know championships. Regardless of what happened these past 30 years, I was birthed with three Super Bowl trophies. You know, four Super Bowl appearances in 10 years. And in that time, that came down to kicking Dallas' ass. And that's what we need to do on Sunday, man. I don't care what happened against Philly, whatever. That was 6-7 days ago now. It's Dallas week. We need to go out here and start fundamentally sound. Like, you know what? I don't care about Jaden being hurt. He's under center. You know what we need to do, though? Run that ball. Hand it off to the eight car, man. You know what I mean?
I got
when
you.
He need a break, hand it off to the new dirty 30 in Eckler. You know what I mean? Eckler, hand it off to Nichols. We need to out-physical this team. Punch him in the mouth early and often. Because they ain't playing for nothing. They know their season is gone. You know what I mean? So we need to knock him out early, man.
Well, I'm with you. Hell, I hope we...
I'm just so...
I hope we take it serious and not think we're better than they are.
No, it's not being better than us. What my man Bossa just said. Athletic arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic arrogance comes from Coach Joe. And that means it comes with respect. You're respecting your team, your opposition, but you also know that I'm a good player. We're a good team. We're a better team. And we're going to go out here and punch you in the mouth. You know? So I'm going to need this fan base. I'm calling everybody out, man. It's Dallas week. You know, we bitched and moaned and complained for 30 years about the owner and the coaches and the field and the players. Well, you know what? Everything's intact. We got an owner intact. We got a quarterback intact. You know, we got a head coach that seems that he knows what he wants to get done. He has direction. Something other coaches ain't had that we had. We got direction. So now it's our job, man, to get this rivalry back to where it was. Where we don't like these dudes, man. I don't want to hear no – I call them all out. Cowboy Clay, old man cowboy. What my cowboy done?
Oh,
I don't hear none of y'all talking. Look, look, y'all been quiet all season. Wait, no, it's Dallas week. Where y'all at? Where y'all at, man? I know where we at. I know where we gonna be at Sunday. And at 4 o'clock, I expect us walking off that field with a W. A hail to the W, baby. I'm out, Doc.
Appreciate you, dog. You lit it up. I knew you would. I mean, is G all right? Essek, have you heard from G from the shop?
I haven't heard from him in a minute.
Yeah, I get concerned, man. I mean, it's.
I'm sure G just understands that with his schedule, with how we deal with phones, calling in on Wednesdays and Thursdays generally is a lost cause.
Oh, well, no, he wouldn't even mess with it. He ain't going to mess with Windbag Wednesday. I mean, no way. But
maybe he didn't get the message that it wasn't a Windbag Wednesday. It's a Wisdom Wednesday instead.
Well, yeah, but gee, man, I get worried about him. But I know that with hoop season, I thought with what is going on in basketball, and that's why I threw it out there in the trending, Westbrook, part of that 200th triple-double was for G. That's why I did it that way. Speaking of that and trending alert, let's take a break and get to one. You know, when we talk about what's trending, I'm gonna take it uplifting. I thought the Rooster kind of dragged us down yesterday with the Alex Ovechkin move. He had me so upset going home. I thought Alex was gonna have his leg decapitated. Seriously, I thought it was amputation with the Rooster. But it is for real, as the young folks say. That IR for the Great Eight would be off the ice. And the next three Capital opponents are spared that. Boy, was he off to a killer start. Nevertheless, the pursuit of Wayne Gretzky is real. He's 27 away, and we'll have to wait till he steams down. 895 is the target. On the hardwood, you knew that the Cleveland Cavaliers were undefeated. The Celtics did too, and they said, not in my house. It was a one-point win. I give him credit for that. Westbrook, and we're throwing this out for G in the shop, 200th triple-double last night. I always felt when Westbrook left the Wizards, it was a bad move. He was what the city needed. Playing hard on both ends, loved being here. That was the, and it was just a bad deal. Went out west, and since then, it was just terrible. Other than that, this is Dallas week. And we're looking for a burgundy and gold victory. And that's what's trending. Dallas week. And oh, the memories have been flowing. A lot of you have lived through it. I thought it would be fitting today to bring some of the gladiators on and let them share those moments. And hope you've enjoyed that. Mike Nelms, Dexter Manley, World Grant, Jeff Bostic, Charles Mann, and now the MVP. The MVP, all those memorable trips to RFK, you and Buttsy. So many memories for you, Mark. I don't know where to start, but I know it was always special for all the Texans playing Dallas. Why don't you describe that to our audience?
Well, my first experience with the Redskins and the Dallas game was Thanksgiving 1974, when I'm trying to remember, was it Danny White? I forget who the quarterback was. I think it was Danny White that threw a last-second touchdown over Kenny Stone to beat us in Dallas on Thanksgiving. And that was, I just remember that was my first experience of being a Redskin and playing Dallas and getting to experience all the craziness that goes on around, or did go on around DC. It's kind of died down over the years. But George Allen was so good at building up that.
Oh yeah.
That experience of playing Dallas. I mean, he made it like it was the end of the world if we didn't win. And we actually kind of felt that way. And then later on, you remember we had in 82, I think it was, when everybody dressed up like military.
Oh, man, that was my favorite photos are those fifth pitchers. And I went to, you know, Tony Hill, and when you start thinking about Thrill, Tony Dorsett, Springs, those are all good dudes, man. Played against them. The Buckeyes, we had our inner challenges, but, I mean, love those dudes, man. And so we would later find out, you know, everybody exaggerate. There was actually, to be honest, there was 26 of us that had gone to the Army surplus stores and bought, had all the fatigues and stuff that actually suited up that day. When we got to the airport, I remember going to Thrill's house and the Springs, and Landry had called them in. And by the time the word got to Dallas, it was the entire team. Imagine if Landry called a meeting and told you that the entire Redskins team was in military gear. And that's the word that come from the airport. So everybody in Dallas said, you better get into the facility. So Landry, all the Cowboys come in the facility, and Landry says, these dudes have on military gear. This is no joke. And it that was the word. It was 26 guys that did that, and then it went on from there. And then when you know who shattered every one of those mirrors in the Dallas locker room, how do you not go back into that? So there was so many different things, or the reef that hung up there. And you went through all this you had that origins of the really when the rivalry was thick.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That reef was thrown after Dallas beat us down there in Dallas that year. One year, I forget which year it was. I think it was Too Tall Jones came to our locker room because somebody had sent a reef to the Dallas locker room before the game. And they thought it came from one of us, but it was a Cowboys fan that was trying to get them riled up, and it did. They ended
up winning the game. But it was Dyron Talbert. That was a rumor.
Yeah. Well, and anyway, it was one of their fans that sent it, because the word got out later on, because what happened was he came into our locker room after the game. The door opened up, and it just so happened that Joe Theismann and my lockers were right there by the door. It came flying in through the door, the wreath did. It bounced off the locker and hit me in the knee and cut my knee. I had a couple of stitches under my kneecap from where it hit off. It was a metal reed. You know, the reed was hung on a metal frame, and it cut my leg. So, I mean, there's been some crazy things that went on for Dallas.
Essek, I bet you didn't know that, did you?
Oh.
You better flag that. The Rooster will want to know that. I don't think he knew it either.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, I mean, I didn't know your leg was cut. I heard about Dyron Talbert. I mean, you hear all these stories. I mean, that was an intricate one when I'm not going to mention who busted the window, who broke every mirror in the locker room. Then there's the fun for some. They tried to jump up the fun bunch. All these different things, Reeves and Zom Landry over there yelling, no, Danny, no. But you've witnessed all of these things. And being from Texas, once again, I just wonder how big was it for you, Mo? And how big is this Sunday? Because I feel like I'm not in a joking mood. I am serious about this. It don't mean a hoot about nostalgia. We have got to beat Dallas Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a must game for this team, I think. If nothing else, because of the rivalry needs to be reborn. And at the same time, our division is really close right now. Dallas is struggling somewhat. They're ripe for us to win. And if we can get it started, I think this year will be the starting point. Because if we can beat them this week, it should be a good indication that our Redskins or our Commanders are back and that good things are ahead. Even if we don't win everything this year, but at least we're getting that the good things, the good memories of the past, we're getting them back, and we've got hope for the future.
MVP Mark Mosley with us here, and the beauty about Mo, and we had Bosco on, and we talked about our our little strip of real estate that we had, and you held that down longer than anybody. But where you have real estate in the locker room, it does matter. And we had a nice little cozy corner there for many years. And your locker attracted the most attention, as always, because for some reason, everybody wants to mess with Mo. And you had the most cosmetics. You had the pumps. You had the gels. You had everything. You were the guy. You were a manly man, but you were far more ahead than the rest of us. And, Mo, that's what always separated you. You were a grown-up when we were still wet behind the ears.
Well, I don't know about that, but I had the mirror in my locker that everybody wanted to come over and look at. And my hair was up. My hair, I guess it's always been a subject of controversy in my life, especially when I was playing. I remember Wysocki used to really give me grief about my hair never getting messed up. He said, you know, he used to claim I could wear the helmet the whole game and take it off, and it looked just like it did before the game.
Yep.
But it wasn't always like that. But it was, my locker attracted a lot of attention. I was even, I remember one year they drug me through the mud after practice. I had already gotten dressed, was headed out because I had to drive up to, I think it was Hagerstown.
That's true story.
A banquet, yep, and they took me out and drug me through the mud hole. And I had to completely get all redressed and everything. It's crazy. And
a lot. How about the analgesic bomb? And Nelms had Nelms on earlier. Number one prankster I ever played with. Who was the number one prankster in all the years you played in the locker room?
I think it was Manny Sistrunk.
Oh, Manny. Yeah, defensive lineman. Yeah, Sistrunk.
Yeah, Manny Sistrunk. And he used to, when everybody were up in the meeting, he would slip into go through the locker room and find out who had lunches, and he would steal the lunches, and guys would come down and their lunch would be gone. And he knew that I always brought a lunch, and I usually had a sandwich or something like that. And, so one day my wife decided she was going to get even. She made a sandwich and she put X-Lax in the sandwich. It was a scrambled egg sandwich with mayonnaise. And he ate that sandwich, and about halfway through our team meeting, Manny, all of a sudden, he started making these noises back in the back, and he's, you could tell everybody turned around to look at his face. Next thing we know, he is sprinting out of the room, trying to get to the restroom. I'll never forget that one.
That's a good one. See, this is why I know some of this is childish, but I'd never heard that one. And that's why you keep digging these, because, I knew the ones, the analgesic bomb, because Nelms did most of these. They call the phone, and they put the shaving cream in the earphone and deal, and guys would put that right to their ear. That I'd heard. Throwing ice over the urinals, Nelms. When you shower and you wash your hair, ice hits you in the back, Nelms. Yeah. So all these things that went on, the pranks in the locker room, but Mo, it's always a pleasure, man. But this Dallas week is different. I know nobody would put a twist on it like you. And as Mo took more crap, he also bailed the team out more than anyone. And I keep trying to remind people in the DMV, do you know when the MVP is a kicker and is on your team, that means your offense failed more than anyone else's. We failed on third down more than anybody, and Mo came in and bailed us out. Mo bailed us out over and over and over again. Final question for you. You got to be impressed with the kicking situation here now, because we've got two guys that don't miss.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been real impressed. I'm really proud, too. They've come through. They've proven that they can make the kicks. And I'm just praying that the coaches will – understand what kicking is all about. It's more mental than it is physical. And these kids right now have a great bit of confidence. If the coaches and the players can keep feeding that confidence, these kids, I think, can do a great job and will really help this team. Because you and I both know, in order to be successful, every good team ends up having a good quarterback, a good defense, and they got to have a good kicking game, a special teams game. If you got those, you've got a good chance to go as far as you can go. And, that's what made us, I think. We always had a great defense. And I don't know that our, you know, there were times when our offense struggled, and that's when we had to have the kicks to keep the points coming in. Because I remember in, you remember in 83, we scored as a team. I think it was 541,
I think, 500, yeah.
500-something points, yep. Which was an NFL record. And I set the NFL record for individual that year with 161 points. But we were, you know, we were driving. Our offense was kicking it, and our defense was really, really stopping them. And we would go down, and if we didn't score a touchdown, we kick field goals. And I'd have 3, 4, 5 field goals a game. So, I mean, it's, you know, that's a big part of the team. And, I mean, if you look at all the good teams right now, every one of them have a good, solid kicking game.
Can't win without it. Detroit, look at the Lions. Best team, got to have a good kicker. And Mo has always been my hero. My favorite kick was the New York Giant kick in the snow. There will be a Netflix special on that. I guarantee it. Because of the background, it's perfect for television.
Yeah,
you can't make it up.
It was a big game. It was something. Yeah. It was a lot riding on it.
Yeah, you can't make it up. It is so – it's perfect for it, and I'm hoping that it happens. Well, my friend, another Dallas week. I hope we get many, many, many more to go. We got to win this one, though. This is really important to the continuance of the season because we're on a mini roll, and I want to get back on the good foot.
Yeah, and the great thing is this is the first time in a long time that this game has a meaning to it. You know, it really is has a big part. Will play a big part in our season when it's all said and done.
Mark Mosley, as Coach Thompson would say, you are simply one of the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doc.
You got it, man.
It's good hearing from you,
Mr. Five Guys. Too makes a mean burger. Have you ever had one?
All right. Five Guys.
Yeah. Okay, Mosley, the man. Thank you, brother.
All right, Doc.
Yeah,
have a
my
good
man,
day.
Mark Mosley. Wow, what a day! Listen to these gladiators, man. It's I got one more.
Hearing all of the pranks that you guys used to pull on each other, I don't want to give anybody ideas. But during the break, because we gotta take a break and then we'll come back with Dum Dum, I got to tell you about what we used to do at Yorktown on the swim team.
Oh, can't
because
wait.
Because it was diabolical, and it might have been a little bit too far, but I thought it was funny.
I don't think you can ever go too far as long as you don't put your hands on somebody. But I'll wait to hear it. Let me judge that. All right. I think we have exceeded my technical expertise, Brother Essek, and you should just execute whatever you have to do for Dum Dum, which I call Nell Nell, and whatever execution you have to do on your own.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
That is all fine. I got today.
There you go.
No problem. So, Doc, what plans?
See, I'm not Rooster. I don't have to be in on everything.
No, but this is a fun one. So, what plans do you usually do when New Year's Eve? What's your usual go-to?
Being away from anybody that could have a firearm.
So, indoors, do you watch fireworks? Do you watch the New Year's Eve countdown?
Yeah, countdown. I like it. But, again, there's too many idiots involved with alcohol, so I'm not a big New Year's Eve guy.
So what you're trying to say is going to a building demolition at New Year's Eve doesn't seem like something that you'd be interested in.
Not at all.
Well, if you feel like doing that, a city in Georgia, Macon Bibbs County, has just said that for their New Year's Eve plans, they plan to demolish a 16-story building at midnight. It's a hotel that was opened in 1970, included guests like Elvis, however, was never financially successful. The city bought the hotel as it was foreclosing back in 2017. It was never reopened due to COVID, everything like that. And the city township was trying to figure out what they wanted to do this year for New Year's Eve and decided, you know what? Let's blow the building up.
They're going to light it up so we get to see. I mean, at night, a night blow up.
Nighttime
is still cool.
Now, I guess I'm on the fence of this. Seems like this would be fun, but it also seems incredibly stupid trying to blow a building up at midnight with a lot of drunk idiots around that came specifically to watch a building.
It seems I don't get it.
The amount of ways this could go wrong. There's too many. Too many ways for it to go wrong. I'm interested. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on it just because, who knows, it might be a dumb of the day for January 1st.
Yeah. What about if a rock hits you in the forehead? Can you sue?
I feel like you can't. Like, if it goes beyond a certain point, because I know that there are actual viewings. That's a thing that people do. Viewings for building demolition, that they have, like, quarantine sections where it's like, this is beyond the blast radius. You should be fine from here. Obviously, no guarantees in anything, but you should be fine from here. So, just from the sake,
can we send Linnell as a correspondent?
Oh, I would. I think we should send Linnell as a correspondent. But just for the sake of doing something that's very different for a New Year's Eve celebration, I'm gonna give a dumb of the day to the Macon Bibbs County in Georgia for deciding to blow up a building for New Year's Eve.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Well, that was good for me. You know, I feel like Rooster will be a little upset. We didn't pay any attention to the Jets or the Giants today, and I'm sure he'll make up for that.
That's all we're going to talk about for the next 2 days. Yeah, forget Dallas week. It's all about Senior Rogers taking over the Jets.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Anyway, it's always good to hook up with the fellas, man. Blast of the Past, still my favorite group of guys I like to fight with, and it was good. Well, you do have a bit of a treat. You don't get Hoffman today. Hoffman, I think, is a pickleball championship that he's at. But you do get Linnell Willingham is coming up. He's been here like 4 hours. Never seen him that early.
Decided to come in early for once.
Well, it's not a good sign. Yeah. But God bless all of you. And hail to the W.